Your money should serve you and your goals, not the other way around. At Eastern Planning Incorporated, we want to ensure your dreams are within reach, and this starts with a smart financial plan. Welcome to It's Not Just Money, It's Life with Matt and Beth Blecker. In our ongoing podcasts, we will give you clear and trusted guidance, teaching you how to use your finances to make your retirement years the fulfillment of your dreams with a well-balanced life free of worry and stress. We are so excited that you have joined us. So, let's get started.
Retirement should be worry-free, but let's get real here, please. You still have to buy groceries, and you should remember the grandkids' birthdays. So how do you determine how much money you need to live the life you want? Well, your host, Beth Blecker, narrows it down to two conversations. I'm Patrice Sikora. And Beth, well, let's go there. It comes down to needs and wants, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I hope you're in the category where you can live with all your needs and your wants too. But a lot of people don't know that they're in that category, even if they're in that category.
Talk to me about needs, wants, and how you determine where the heck they stand.
Exactly. One of the biggest issues, and I've said this before, and it's worth repeating, is there are savers and there are spenders. The spenders spend and the savers don't. And typically it's the savers that have much more money and can spend much more than they do, and they need a little prompting. So we need to do prompting on both sides. It's very important. And one of the biggest problems is people do not realize where they are, how much they can spend, and they need a little help in understanding that. So the first thing you have to do is determine where the income's going to come from. And we try to do that before retirement, but we're not always given that opportunity because sometimes people don't come to us until after the fact when they're sitting there saying, I'm retired and I have a pile of money and I have a pension and Social Security, or I don't have a pension, so I don't know where to get my money from. And we have to sit down and we have to look. And then we have to make do, because that's it. They've retired. Or I send them back to work, which they don't like.
You want fries with that?
Exactly. So if you come to a planner before you retire and you sit down with them and you go over where you are and where you hope to be, a lot of times you're given a realistic expectation so that you know what to do. So the first thing you have to do is you have to look at, do you have a pension? And I'm going to tell you right now, very few places give pensions. Mm-hmm. It's not in many private corporations, and it still is in the government and in teaching and in, not even in all nursing. And so you have to make sure you have a pension. And if so, you have to make sure what the qualifications are, because you don't want to be that one that needs to work 20 years in order to get medical insurance and you work 19 years and 4 months and didn't realize you thought it was only 15 years. So you really have to be careful, because medical insurance, if you're retiring before 65, is crucial. Mm-hmm. So you really have to be careful about that. So you need to know what the parameters are if you have a pension, and what are your benefits at retirement, and how long do you have to have worked in a place to get any of those benefits?
Well, let me ask you this. If you are lucky enough to have a pension, where do you go to find out the details of it? Your HR department, your boss, where do you go?
Yeah, it's usually your HR department. And in some educational facilities, they have an organization with a number and you can call them and they give you a form and you can see all mm-hmm. of your benefits. And it says, if you retire at 13 years and 2 months, you get this. And if you retire at 15 years and 4 months, you get this. And typically, most places will give you a very good summary of what to expect and when.
Well, as you said, lots of people don't even know the word pension anymore because they're very rare. So exactly. What do other people have coming, if anything?
They have to have made it themselves. And of course, everybody, no, I shouldn't say everybody, most everybody gets Social Security. And if you don't have enough quarters to get your own Social Security and you're married, you get half of your spouse's. So most everybody does qualify for Social Security, but never, ever was Social Security expected to be a pension. Never, ever was Social Security be expected to make you allow you to survive in retirement mm-hmm. alone. Although some people think that that's true, it was never intended for that. It was a supplemental income. So you get a pension. And depending upon what your income was during work, and the equation for Social Security is made up by the government. So you know it's like the most complicated equation in the world. And even when you do the equation and you think you figured out exactly what your dollar number is, you're probably wrong.
Yes. And it can change. They've changed ages.
It can change based on the laws, but it also changes annually based on COLA and everything else mm-hmm. that's going on. So it is constantly changing. And it's also constantly changing prior to you starting. It's usually more fixed when you apply and start getting your Social Security than when you're still working and you're working towards your Social Security. There's one little tip for Social Security, and that is, if you don't have, oh my goodness, my number just went out of my head and I don't have my papers with me. But if you don't have your top years, you haven't worked enough years, and let's say it's 20 years, and I will come back and fix that number because I'm not positive of what number mm-hmm. it is. But let's say you had to work 20 years, and it could be 20 and it could be 30. But if you work the 20 years and you have a number in each year, even if you worked part-time 1 year and the number was only $8,400, that number goes in. If you don't work the full amount of years, for every year you don't work, you get a zero. A zero. They don't use, you know, like if you're getting your pension, they say, well, we'll use your top 5 years. Not in Social Security, they use every year. So if you don't have enough years, sometimes the answer is to work a couple of more years.
Mm-hmm.
Just a couple of more years to get rid of those zeros. Zeros are terrible.
Yeah.
So we know that in testing, right? If you get one zero on one test, it ruins your whole grade.
That's it. And we're talking about the rest of your life here. This is income for the rest of your life.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's very important to get your summary and look at it and make sure you don't have any zeros. And even if you're working in a great job now and you're earning money and you say, well, maybe I can retire. And you look at your Social Security report and there's 3 years that have terrible income. And you say to yourself, well, I can work one more year. Well, one more year helps get rid of one of the lower numbers. So working with Social Security before you retire and before you collect is very, very important. So now you have your Social Security. You may or may not have a pension, but then you have money. Money is the issue. Remember, savers and spenders, savers usually have a bigger pile of money. Spenders, sometimes their pile of money is not so good, right? It used to be said that the biggest equity you have is the equity in your home. And now it's your retirement account. So the biggest amount of money you have is your retirement account. So if you have $1 million of retirement money and you want to live off of that, and you're going to be careful in how you're living, a lot of people say, well, 4% is safe.
To take
out
of here.
You should live off 4% of your money.
Yeah.
But sometimes that's a little too safe. See, one of the problems is, for my clients, we don't want to ever run out of money, but we don't want to leave the kids all the money when we didn't even live the life we wanted to live. So sometimes you have to be a little risky as long as you're watching. You can't go on remote control. That's always the worst thing. So let's say you say you're going to live on 5% with an inflation piece. And you say to yourself, okay, and you're working with an advisor and they're helping you and watching, and you're making little buckets of money. And this is the way I do it. So you're going to have, well, I say I do it, but we all know that Matthew does it. I just send the client to Matthew and he does it for them, right?
And Matthew eventually to explain this to us again.
Right. But we have the pile of money that we live off of, that we take our 5% from. And that's our safe bucket. Because if we're listening to this podcast close to, in 2022, close to May, we know that the market's down. Mm-hmm. And we know that we're all watching the market and going, right? But if we're retired and we're living off of our money, we don't care at the moment that the market's down, because we have this safe pile of money that doesn't go down. And we have at least 3 years of distribution money in it, so that we give the market, and we have different levels of buckets, so we give the market time to recoup, and then we can refill our safe bucket. And if we're really conservative, we have more in our safe bucket. I have some clients that have 10 years of safe money.
Oh, wow.
Because you never know, right?
Well, you're absolutely right.
So they...
Well, let's not hope it's 10 years, 10 bad years.
No, exactly. But it takes the market time to recoup. Sure. So it only may be one bad year, but it may take two more years for the market to get... Because we don't want to sell low. Mm-hmm. We never want to sell low. So now we're living off of that bucket of money, and we're letting our other money grow. So we're living off of our 5%. And one of the things we do, which helps live off of the 5%, is we say to our clients, like in 2008, when it was a prolonged downturn, we say to our clients, needs and wants. Let's cut back on some of the wants, if we can. I mean, some people are living only on needs, right?
Yeah.
But let's cut back on some of the wants. This is not the year we're going to go on the international cruise. Maybe in 2 years from now. And we cut back on some of the expensive wants, and we lower the amount we're taking out to a 4% because we can. And then we tighten our belts a little bit. And then all of a sudden, 2008 is over. We get into 2009. The market starts soaring again. And we go, oh, good. And we go back to the way we're living, because we have that ability not to go 4%, 4%, 4%, 4%. We have the ability to watch what we're doing, tighten a little, or we're having a really good year. And we say, wow, can we go on to Alaska now? And the answer is, sure. This is a better year to do it. So it's wants and needs. 4% is too safe. If this is your only bucket, you know, like if you have a pension and Social Security and you're using this money for extras, well, then you may not need to even take out 2%.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, let me ask you this. Suppose you have clients who they're not making enough to meet their current level of lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Can you find it someplace else? Or how was that conversation going? You say, excuse me, but we really got to talk about these needs versus wants here.
Yes. So there's usually a place you can find it. And that's because of where we live and where our business is in the Northeast, outside of New York City. So we know cost to live there is high, high, high. And many of my clients bought a house for $250,000, $300,000 or less, and now can sell it for $700,000. And their mortgage is all the way down to $75,000. So remember I said in the beginning, some people, that right now your retirement accounts is your largest asset. Mm-hmm. Some people, their house is still their largest asset. So what can we do? The answer is, it depends on how much you're short. Sometimes it's just downsizing. More often than not, it's downsizing and moving. So relocating to a less expensive location. So many of my clients moved to Florida and to North Carolina and to South Carolina and to Delaware and Tennessee. Many of my clients are downsizing. Yeah. They're selling their house. And the other problem in our area is taxes. Taxes for a house is over $20,000 a year. You go to Florida and it's $2,000 a year.
That's a huge difference.
Right? Yeah. So now you take a house, you sell it. Even if it only has a $100,000 mortgage, now you buy a house with no mortgage, $20,000 taxes, $2,000 taxes, with a couple of $100,000 left over to take 5% out of. So that's usually the way we can manage not having enough right now.
So in a sense, they've actually been saving in the house, paying the mortgage.
Well, not necessarily. Again, they're spenders, usually. Not necessarily were they saving in the house, but their house was working as an investment, which some years it does and some years it doesn't. So this is a long-term investment because most of these people were living in their houses over 20 years. So they bought they got a 30-year mortgage. They've been paying it for 20 years. Some of them refinanced, but they've been paying it for 20 years, so it's much, much lower. And they bought a house that now has appreciated a very nice amount. And again, we live in an area that taxes started out at $10,000 and now are $20,000, $24,000, $30,000. So if you go somewhere else, you're saving a big fortune anyway.
You do have to make that decision to move, but if it means being able to live a lifestyle that you want, it's something you got to do.
Right. And then, you know, one of the biggest issues is family. Oh, I don't want to move away from my family. And another is, where am I going to move? I want to live near a good medical system. Right. And that can be checked out and done. But as far as family goes, a lot of times, if you get rid of that big house and that big tax, you can afford to fly up to your family once a month. And you're able to spend the money and enjoy the time. So a lot of times, yeah, it's maybe not I go there every Sunday, but it's still, I go there every Sunday, but I can't be the one who buys anything because I have no money.
Yeah. You could also look at it as either you move away from the family and come to visit, or you move in with the family and learn to be quiet.
No matter who my clients are, savers and or spenders, the one thing they never, ever, ever, ever want to do is have to live off of their children.
Yeah.
I almost have to promise them that. We're going to make a plan that when you die, there still will be money left over because you didn't have to take money from your children.
Yeah. That's such a valid mm-hmm. statement. Yeah.
Right.
Go ahead.
So basically, that's the way we make matters work. So now when we're looking, going back to the original conversation we were having, when we're looking at where are the buckets of money, and I use that word in a different terminology, but where are your money? Where is your money coming from for your income? We're looking again at Social Security, which is a small portion. We're looking at retirement savings. We're looking at other savings. So sometimes we don't only save in our retirement account. So we have a brokerage account that has, or a savings account that has money in it. And we have equity in our homes, right? And then sometimes we do have a pension. And we look at all of that and we figure out, okay, if we're taking 5% out of the income from our investment money, retirement money, and it's very, very important that you have to look at taxes, because when you're taking out retirement money, it's taxable. And then it's important where you live in retirement money, because some states are very good for state income and some states aren't. So some states tax you on your IRA distributions on dollar one. Some states don't have state income, like Florida.
Right.
And in New York, if you have a New York pension and a New York retirement account, you don't get charged state tax on that. And the first $20,000 of anybody's retirement income doesn't have state tax. So you have to look at taxes in order to know where your income's at as well, because you have to make sure that you're netting the dollar. Mm-hmm. So if you're taking money out of retirement accounts, it's not a dollar for a dollar, unless it's a Roth. It's not a dollar for a dollar. So you might have to say, okay, this dollar is only worth 75 cents, but this dollar is worth a dollar. So we're looking at that. So it's very, very important to get your income, put it down on a sheet and say, this is my net dollar. And then we want to look at where we are working, and we look at our net dollar. We are living off of this dollar. And here's the difference that we believe. We believe that you're going to spend at least what you're bringing home and not saving now. So one of the things we don't look at is, will I make $150,000 a year? Yes, but you're saving $40,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, you're making 150, but we're not going to save $40,000 a year anymore. Again, my savers have problems with that, but that's another story. So now we're only looking at $110,000 a year. And then we have to say, okay, how are we going to get $110,000 a year? And if we have $1 million and we have $50,000 a year, right? $1 million of retirement money.
Right.
And we that 110 was pre-tax also. And we have $50,000. And then we have two social securities, and that was $40,000. Well, now we're already at $90,000. So where are we going to get the other $30,000? Well, now we can look at the equity in your house, or we can look at your brokerage accounts or other places. And usually we can find that money. And even if we're looking at the equity in our house, well, then we may not need the $110,000 because now we've sold our house, lowered our expenses, and we're $90,000 is all we need. So it's looking at where you are today and where you think you are at retirement based on what you have right now and making sure they match. And then if they match, there you go. You can retire.
At what age do most people come to see you?
It's really, a lot of people don't come to see me until all of a sudden they go, I think I want to retire.
Yeah.
And that could be 62 or 64. And then they come to us and it's like, well, we want to retire in June. And then we have to say, well, can we? More often than not, we can. Maybe tweaking all those things I just told you. But then I have another group of people who are planners, savers and planners, and they're coming to me in their 40s. Mm-hmm. So I have a significant amount of clients who are starting in their 40s and might be now in their 50s and 60s, but starting in their 40s because they want to be getting to that place, or they have now children in college and they want to make sure they know how they're paying for that, or they want to buy their second home and they want to make sure they're doing the right thing. And so it's really a toss up. We have those people that totally wait, put their money in their 401k, never even really knew how it was invested and just live their life and then say, oh, time for retirement. And then others who pretty much look early and really do plan.
It sounds to me as if you tend to be able to find most of the money that people need. Is that a fair assumption?
Yes, although I do have a couple of clients who are still working part-time. So one of the things is, and we spoke about Social Security. So one of the things is, when do you want to retire? And leaving your Social Security till age 70 gets you the most money, because the government right now, we don't know what tomorrow will bring, but right now says, if you don't take your Social Security at full retirement age, which is anywhere from 66 to 67, depending on when you were born, and you reach full retirement age and you don't take your Social Security, they're going to give you 8% a year just because.
And
that's a nice amount of money.
You can't get that anywhere, yeah.
Exactly. So one of the conversations is, well, let's do that, but we don't really want to work anymore. Okay, so let's live like we're retired, but we'll take a part-time job. And then we'll leave Social Security alone and we'll build it. And we'll plan on retiring in full at age 70. And then at that point in time, we might then determine that, okay, we're still not quite there, but now we'll down. So there's little tweaks along the way that you can do, but making sure you're, a lot of people say, oh, Social Security is not worth anything. It is. It's a nice little extra that gets you, you know, sometimes it gets you to where your needs are, and sometimes it gets you those wants. So you really need to know. And a lot of people take Social Security just because they say Social Security might not be there. So let me get as much as I can out of it now. I don't believe Social Security will not be there. Could the possibility exist that it'll stop increasing or that they'll cut it a little? Yes. But what probably will happen is what they'll probably do is everybody who works is going to pay more Social Security, and they'll raise the amount of money, maybe, that everybody who makes every single cent to $3 million, $22 million will have to pay Social Security on every single money. People who have higher incomes love the Social Security day. The day that they come home and they look at their paycheck and they no longer have Social Security taken out of it. They like know what day that's going to be. It's like a raise. Yes. Maybe that will never happen. It doesn't happen anymore in Medicare. It used to be that Medicare was only taken out of your salary till a certain amount. Mm-hmm. Now it's taken out on every dollar you make. Now it's a much lower number. So maybe what they'll do is they'll lower the amount of Social Security total, but they'll make it longer.
Right.
So there's so many things that they can do that I do not believe Social Security is gone. I think it's here forever. And I think it's just one of those scare tactics, you know, making you like, yeah. And you shouldn't go along with that.
Well, I can't believe
plan it.
Yeah, I can't believe there's any politician out there who would say, okay, we're going to cut Social Security. Do you know what would happen?
There was a few years ago, I forget exactly when, because I'm not all that big on politics, but it was a few years ago, and they had a commercial that they actually had an older woman in a wheelchair that they were throwing Granny off the cliff because they were getting rid of the other party.
Jeez.
Was going to throw Granny off the cliff because they were getting rid of Social Security.
I don't remember that one. It's a good thing I don't remember that one.
Nobody's throwing Granny off of any cliff.
No, I don't think so either. I don't. Well, Beth, this has been a great discussion. Is there any other point that you want to bring up that we haven't mentioned yet?
No, just reiterating that you can't just retire. Because if you just retire, you're probably going to spend too little. And if you're not spending too little, you're probably spending too much. You can't just base it on luck to be spending the right amount of money.
All right. Well, Beth, how can listeners reach you? Because I'm sure there are a lot of people saying, well, I don't know what I'm going to do, so I better talk to Beth.
You can always go on my website. There's on my website at easternplanning.com. There's a place where you can say, send me information or make an appointment for me. So easternplanning.com, or you can give my office a call at 845-627-8300. Or you can send us an email. Don't send it to me because I get a lot of emails and I don't want to miss something or I don't want it to go into spam. So if you want to send us an email, you can send it to Nicole@easternplanning.com and she'll make sure I answer.
Right. Beth, thanks so much. We'll be talking again soon. And to make sure you know when every episode of It's Not Just Money, It's Life is ready for you, be sure to follow this podcast and share it with friends and colleagues. I'm Patrice Sikora, and let's talk again later.
Thank you for listening to the It's Not Just Money, It's Life podcast. Click the subscribe button below to be notified when new episodes become available. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guest and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Eastern Planning Incorporated. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional investing advice. Always seek the advice of your financial advisor or other qualified financial service provider with any questions you may have regarding your investment planning. Securities and advisory services offered through Royal Alliance Associates, Incorporated, RAA, member FINRA, SIPC. RAA is separately owned, and other entities and or marketing names, products, or services referenced here are independent of RAA.